couple months now, and it's been an amazing lesson. What we've done is we've got books for our members, and if you visitors, you like a book, it's just pick one up and take it with you. You will definitely get a lot out of this lesson series. But what we do Sunday morning, we start with one of the lessons, and we do a sermon on the next lesson. We're on lesson number 18. And what I've done in the last several weeks, I'll give you a little tidbit of what we talked about. Jerry's already done a little bit of it. A little tidbit of what we talked about and what you missed in Sunday school this morning. You know, this week has been one of those difficult weeks for me as doing the studies. The studies prior to this have been pretty easy because I've recognized how wonderful and powerful our Lord is. All the miracles He's done, His wisdom. It's recognizing, seeing He's a powerful God, that He fed the 5,000, He raised the dead. But now we're talking about the week prior to His crucifixion. You know what's been on my mind is that Wednesday. Scriptures don't talk a whole lot about a Wednesday, and we were talking about that this morning. And I was trying to wrap my head around why we got so much on about Tuesday and Monday and Thursday and Friday, but not a whole lot on Wednesday. Now, this is what we call, Russ used to call it Russism when he was here. I'm not the regular preacher for the visitors. We're in that stage where we're trying to get a new preacher. So I'm just a fill-in. So this is a bearism. You know, so this is not in Scripture. This is not something that I can read right to you. But this is bearism wrapping my head around Wednesday. You know, He was resting on that day. Why was He resting? And I thought about it. You know why I think He was resting? He wanted to make sure His body was physically ready for what is about to occur. Because He didn't want any of the pain to be taken away. He didn't want His physical body to fall short and fail. So He rested so He would feel every ounce of that pain that He was about to go through on Thursday and Friday. And I thought about that. Why for me? Jerry talked about it a little minute ago. During that week, I can't wrap my head around it, but during that week, he was thinking about Brian Baer, who was born in 1966, graduated from Hopewell High School and a part of the Edge Hill Church of Christ. He was thinking about me. And he was realizing if he doesn't do that, then he will fail me. And he feels the same way about you, that he had to do his Father's will. There's no choice in the matter. That's what we were talking about this morning. We, y'all, congregation, you know what I'm telling you this is. This is a love story about you. You know, throughout the whole Bible and the whole thing, it's a love story about you. Everything. And there's a point when you read that love story, somebody has to make that ultimate sacrifice for somebody. And that story's about us. Like I told you before, you know, it's pretty awesome that there's a love story written about me. But it's a true story. That's what makes it that much more incredible. So that's what we were talking about this morning. You know, this lesson, and we're going to talk about the 10 virgins and the wedding feast and the talents. And it's all about always being ready. You know, so we're going to talk a little bit about that this morning. So let's start off in Matthew chapter 25, verse 1. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be alike unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. They're getting ready to have a wedding. Let's talk about what a wedding is about. Everybody wants to be there. You're invited to this wedding. You want to be a part of that. It's a glorious time and a glorious moment. You don't want to miss out on that. But also with a wedding, it takes a lot of preparation, a lot of planning. And he likes having the kingdom of heaven to be like them waiting for that great day. You know, Christ is going to be here before the end of the week, crucified on the cross. But he tells this story because he's telling us there's more to come. There's a glorious day that we're going to be a part of, and He wants us to be ready for it. That great celebration. And when we sing that song about giving up this stuff on earth and being a part of heaven and earning that robe and crown, we want to be there. But He was telling us to be ready. And that's where we see in Matthew 25, verse 1. My slide didn't move like I thought it did. Now in verse number 2, it says, five of them were wise and five were foolish. So He tells them, hey, there was five of those who were going to be a part of that wedding party were wise and five of them were foolish. You know who He's talking to here? He's talking to us. We're the ones invited to that wedding. We're the ones that He wants to see on that great day when that day occurs. So He's talking to us, five of them are wise and five of them are foolish. So, brothers and sisters, this sermon's about me. This sermon's about you. We just got to decide which side we want to be on, the wise side or the foolish side. Because there's a whole lot that we can miss if we're not on the wise side. The foolish ones took their lamps, but did not take any oil with them. The wise, however, took oils in their jars along with their lamps. Now, the wise were prepared. They knew the wedding was coming. They didn't know exactly when. They knew it was going to be late, so they better have some extra oil. But the foolish just took their lamps with oil. What occurred? The bridegroom's was a long time in coming, and they all become drowsy and falling asleep. You know, there's a couple of stories in that telling us, you know, we don't know when the Lord's coming. We're going to talk about that time coming. But there's times in our life that we go along that maybe we're a little drowsy in our Christianity. Maybe we're a little sleepy and drowsing off and not watching like we should. Because that's what they were doing. They were waiting and watching for the groomsmen to come. So what are we doing? Are we watching and ready? At midnight, there was a cry made out, behold, the bride coming to go. Yet, let's go ye out to meet him. Oh, the news is coming. The bride's coming, and it's already late in the night. And how are the ten virgins are going to be able to, are they prepared for it? It tells us in verse 8, and the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are going out. So this is what occurred. You had the five that were wise and the five that were foolish. The wise one had extra oil, knew we did not know how long it would be, but we're going to be ready for that day, for that event that occurs, because we do not want to miss out. You know what the foolish were doing? They were doing what they needed to get by. So often, I think, as Christians, sometimes we do what we need to get by. We don't prepare with extra oil because that's extra work, that's extra expense, that's extra involvement that we need to have. So as Christians, we say, well, this should get me by, right? Coming to church on Sunday morning will get me by, right? That's all I got to do. I don't have to worry about Sunday school or, you know, I've told y'all before, I'm preaching to myself because I don't even, sometimes don't even think I need to be worthy up here. Being up here on Wednesday. I go through, my week starts on Monday, I go to work. All right, you know, I'm busy with work. Do I need to do that little extra about doing God's will throughout the week? Am I prepared to do His work? Or do I just get by? That's what the foolish women were doing. They were just adding enough oil. We should make it. We should be okay. There should be no issues. The groomsmen should come at plenty of time. And I'll have my lights and I'll be ready for that. So what occurs? And while they went to Baal, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Those who were ready went in with the party to celebrate, to have a good time, to be a part of that celebration. They were ready because they had the oil. But what happened to the wives? We jump down to verse 11. Afterwards, the other virgins came also, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered, "Truly I say unto you, I don't know you." He's talking to brothers and sisters. You expect that from the world out there. You expect that to be the answer that the Lord says to them, but to us? That's the very thing that can occur. The very thing that he could say to us, those who are in this room right now. If we were like the foolish ones who are just trying to get by with our Christianity. That's tough to think about. Am I doing everything I need to be doing? Am I fulfilling what the Lord wants of me? Not just showing up here. Not just being a part of worship this Sunday morning, as we talked about before. It can be difficult. And he tells them in verse 13, "Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour whence the Son of Man is coming." You don't know when that day is coming. It could be today. It could be tomorrow. It could be while you're at work. It could be while you're at that grocery store getting mad because the line's taking so long. But the thing that we need to understand, he wants us to be always be ready. Because I got a warning for you. Jesus could come right now. And right now might be a little easy because we're all together. We're all saying, yeah, we're standing together. But let me tell you something. What we talked about in class this morning. You're going to have to stand before the Lord. We're not going to stand as a congregation. You're going to have to answer for how ready you are. I'll be there if I could, and I would stand up for each and every one of you. But I'm not allowed. So the question this morning that you have, nobody can stand up for you. The question is, are you going to be ready for that? It's funny how he uses two parables back to back to explain how the kingdom of heaven is going to be like. He uses this wedding party celebration about, hey, you need to be watching out. Just like the prodigal son, the father was out there looking every day. We talked about that a few weeks, looking for his son. How did he see him? Because he was looking for him. How are we going to be see Jesus? Because we're going to be looking for him on that day. We got to realize and understand that we need to be ready. Then he goes into the parables of the talents. Because he tells us there's more to that. Not only do you need to be ready, but there's more that I need to tell you. Remember, this is his last week. We talked about it this morning that Jesus, there's a lot going on that week. He's trying to tell his disciples everything they need to know before he leaves. How important that you need to be ready. How important you need to be doing my Father's will. That destruction's coming. The end of time will eventually come, and then you need to be ready in all the things that may be occurring in their lives. But in Matthew, it tells us, he goes straight into telling the parable of the talents. "For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country, who calls his own servants and delivers his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, and to another 2 talents, and to one to each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on to his journey." So basically he gave one guy 5 talents. We gave another guy 2 talents and gave a person 1. He gave them, as we would take it today, we look at it, what the Lord has given us the ability to do for him. Think about that. When when the master leaves, he gives you talents. He just doesn't give you talents just to be giving you talents. There's a reason and a purpose for that. And we're given talents. So put your shoes on and put them here in these places. Which one are you? The five, the two, or the one? Think about that as we go through that. Are you the five, the two, or the one on these talents? And it reads on, then he went on his journey. The man who had received five bags of gold went to the one and put his money to work and gained five bags more. So also the one with the two bags of gold gained two more. But the man who received the one bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. So you got two, they're putting the money to work. You got one who's afraid that he'd lose that one talent he was given and buried it. I can imagine them coming back and seeing the master when he came back. Oh, some of them are excited. Some of them are really nervous. They gave the talents. And it says in Matthew verse 21, his master replied, "Well done and good and faithful servant," talking to the ones who were able to give more on their talents. "You have been faithful with a few things. I put to you in charge of many things. Come share your master's happiness." That's what I want to hear on Judgment Day. Come share your master's happiness. I want to be a part of that. I want to be that one that does that. You know, the one that buried it, he tells the master why. He pretty much tells the master, he says, "I buried this because I know how you are. You gather where you don't throw seeds and vice versa. I know how important this talent is to you." And the master told him, "You're right, I do. But you could at least put it in the bank and gain interest. You could at least done that." But he chose not to because he didn't do anything while the master was gone. So the money's buried. It's not being put to work. So the whole time the master's gone, the talent is doing nothing. He tells us in Matthew 25, verse 29, "For whoever will be given more." So let me start over again. "For whoever has will be given more, and they will have abundance. Whoever does not have what they have will be taken them away." If you're not doing anything for the Lord right now, what do you think is going to happen? I like this phrase, telling us, "I am using or losing my talents." You are giving a talent. I don't know what it is. We all have different talents. We studied that before. Some of it is being kind. Some of it is being able to speak. Some of it is being able to do good to others. God has given you a talent, and you need to be using your talents for His work. If you're not, you're losing it. And then when the Lord comes, what are you going to answer to Him? "I said I had the talent that you gave me. If it's gave me one, it doesn't matter. Or if it gave you five or two, it doesn't matter. He gave it to you for a purpose and a reason. So what are we going to do with it? Are we going to bury it? Are we going to be out there doing God's work?" That's what He's expecting. That's what He was telling His disciples. There's so much more work ahead of you. And you have a choice. You have a choice to do my will and make a difference to the world, or you have a choice in waiting on Judgment Day and seeing what my answer is. And you're not going to like my answer, just like He told that one. You could at least put it in the bank and gain answers. Where are you at with your talents? What are you doing for the Lord every day? what work are you doing? What work am I doing? I told you these lessons are going to get harder. It's where are we at in the world? We talked about it last week, last Sunday. We talked about in the Hebrews chapter 11 about our home here is in a tent. We're just passing through. And when you're just passing through, what does that mean? You're usually on a mission work. You're usually gone somewhere to do something. You just didn't pop up a tent just to pop up a tent. You're gone to go camping, to go relax, or go on a mission work. This is not your home. So what are you doing? You know, that's what I ask myself, because we talked about it also last week, that we can get tied up in our daily lives. We can get tied up with work. We can get tied up with our family issues. We can get tied up with our bills. We can get thinking about everything else than what we ought to be thinking about. Satan's telling you, hey, you've got a rough week coming up. You planning for it? You got a lot of meetings to go to, Brian. Your calendar's full for Prince George. They got you doing this and that. Are you ready and prepared for those meetings? The question is, are you ready and prepared for the Lord? Those meetings will happen if I'm there or if I'm not. It all comes down to what I'm doing for the Lord. If I'm not doing His work daily, then I have not accomplished anything. You know, I like this phrase to put up on here. Mr. Moore, I don't know this individual who said this, but I like it. So I'll put it in the sermon this morning. One never knows what each day is going to bring. The important thing is to be open and ready for it. Now put that in perspective of being a Christian. I don't know what the Lord has prepared for me for tomorrow. I don't know what He's going to put in front of me, what things I can do to make a difference. Remember, we talked about looking for those opportunities. I don't know what opportunities, but all I know is I need to be ready for them. If I'm tied up in my daily life, am I worried about my family issues? Am I worried about my work issues? Am I worried about all this stuff? I am not ready for what the Lord has for me. Congregation, I encourage you, as you leave out this door, Satan's already probably working on you about what you got going on this week. Worry about what the Lord has going on for you this week. That's what we need to be ready for. This is what was read earlier. This is out of Luke. We were reading the one out of Matthew earlier, but it says this: Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not. He tells us when we least expect it. When we are not ready, that's probably when the Lord's going to come. When we're not expecting it, that's when the Lord's going to come. You know, we talked about that wedding earlier. Christ has told His disciples when He left, if I go away, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I'm coming back so you can be a part of that. Don't miss that door closing. Don't miss those opportunities. Don't miss the groomsmen coming and have to be going back to the store to get more oil. Don't miss that opportunity to use a talent to bring somebody with you, because He invites anybody and everybody you can bring with you. That's what He wants. So you should be out there working to bring other people to that wedding. If you're not actively doing that, you're not doing the Lord's work. So I want to leave you with a thought as we bring this sermon to a close. I like this phrase. I use it in the fire service all the time. But I like it for Christianity. Stay ready so you ain't got to get ready. Because if you got to get ready, you ain't going to be ready on that day. So stay ready so you ain't got to get ready. I tell my firefighters all the time, because we don't know what I used to. I'm retired, for those who don't know. I used to tell them all the time, stay ready so you ain't got to get ready, because you don't know what the door next door will have. You don't know what's behind that door. You don't know what's going to happen. But you got to be ready. You got to train. You got to be prepared. Funny thing is, most of y'all know that I'm an emergency manager of Prince George County. That's my whole job, is planning, preparing for disasters. And that's the whole point that I try to push across. Stay ready so you ain't got to get ready. Because you know what I hear in emergency disasters? I hear from people all the time, and I bet you I hear from Christians. Well, it's never happened before here. Why do we got to worry about it? It's not when. It's not if, but when. I've been in the fire service, and I've seen just about every disaster you could possibly serve. I've been through an earthquake, a plane crash, floods. I've been through just about everything in my 30-some years in the fire service. It's not if, but when. But brothers and sisters, I'm telling you, this is all guarantees I can tell you right here and now. That day is coming. That day is coming. There's no ifs, ands, but. You can't tell me, well, it's never happened. Yeah, but it's going to. And the question is, are you ready? The lessons we're going to talk about here the day to come, we're getting closer and closer to the Christ being crucified on that cross. These lessons don't get any easier from here. So I hope and pray that y'all have been taking those opportunities of coming to Sunday school, coming to worship service. We got a great gospel meeting getting ready to occur. To be a part of that, those opportunities, taking that book home and studying it throughout the week. Because I'm telling you, as I told you 100 times before already, is I can't teach you everything that I'm learning in this book. I only get 45 minutes here, and if I'm lucky, 45 minutes on this end of it to try to tell you everything I'm picking up. I can't do it. So I encourage you to study what we've been studying. We're coming to a close, to an end. We're on lesson 18 out of 24. And it's not going to get easier. It's actually going to get a little harder. But that's okay. Because there's a wedding day's coming. There's a great day coming, isn't it? That's what we're working for. Christ gave it all, even to on Wednesday, where he rested on that day to make sure his body was able to endure every bit of it for you and me. You know, I look at my life and I say, why me? Because I know where I'm struggling. I know I'm having difficulties here and there in life because I'm human. But why would he do all that for me? That love story. That wonderful love story. It's all about you. And about me too. It's all about you. Don't miss and have the door closed on you. Stay ready so you ain't got to get ready. If there's anything we can do for you, Jerry will come up front. Our elders are awesome here. They'll pray for you. We'll pray for you as a congregation. We're here with you. You don't have to go through any of this by yourself. The victory's already won. He's overcame whatever struggles you're already getting ready to face and whatever you're going through now. Prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So there's a lot that can be accomplished this morning no matter what you're going through. I don't know what you're going through. I know what I'm going through, but I don't know what you're going through. But all I can do is offer you that opportunity to lay it out on the line. Let everybody pray for you and help you through it. So if there's anything that we can do for you, why don't you come now as we stand and sing. Thank you.